I think that so many people just think things are really just going to carry on much the same. And I believe that we're going to see tremendous changes in what's going on in our world and around the world. And particularly, we have to demonstrate the truth of the kingdom and the reality. I think Jesus is the way and the truth. And that word truth can be translated reality. And I think they need to see in the church the reality of a demonstration of heaven on earth. And people will want that, particularly when nothing in the world is meeting any of their needs and any of their situations. They will definitely want what we have to offer if it's genuine. And if we are actually embassies of heaven on earth, where we live under a different system, we're under different laws, we're administering heaven in a totally different way. But, it's a journey that we're on to discover it, but I'm sort of convinced that there's going to be a massive change that we need to be ready for, But anyway, there we go. All right, well, it's good to re-engage with you guys after a few weeks. Yeah, I was just saying earlier, I had a really great time in the US and Canada. Helped establish three sort of benches of three and the blueprints for three ecclesia, which was interesting. That wasn't what necessary was expected for the people who stepped into heaven and got a mandate from God for something. But it was really, really good to be able to help them and facilitate with them. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the fruit of that outworks in the future. But it was a great time. Really, really met a lot of really good people and recruited quite a few more people for the alpha group thing. I was really a soft touch when it came to, are you sure that it's closed? Well, okay, just send me an application. So now we're up to about 190 people on that now. So, I've got to work out how that's going to work over the next couple of weeks.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a few people definitely. But if everyone's hungry and want to go for it, it'll be great. So, yeah.
Yeah, Christine was telling me about it. I must have misunderstood it. I didn't. I when I read about it, I didn't understand that it was to be that was something that we could add on to this, and so that's why I kind of disregarded it. So I apologize for that. I probably should have focused on it a little bit more.
There's no more room. There's no more room, Mike. Sorry.
Understood.
Yeah. No, I mean the reality, what it's really designed for people to work through in their own time, in their own way to develop pathways of relationship, of intimacy and responsibility with God. I will provide all the resources that I've got to help people to engage, but it will be if people are willing to practice and make it a lifestyle, And some people may take a lot longer to do different modules than others, but that's fine. It's not a race. I'm just wanting to support and encourage people to embrace this lifestyle and be ready for mentoring others in it. Really, that's the key to it. Yeah.
So it sounds like what I'm trying to do anyway.
Yeah, similar to what you're trying to do. I'm just going to provide all the resources to do
Yeah.
it.
Sounds like I should have signed up. So when's the next one?
Well, if you want to sign up, you still can. I mean,
You're going to continue to be a softie?
yeah. Well, I know you. It's like we've worked through some things. So, no, if you're interested, yeah, I'm quite happy to send you the information, have a look at the video link and see if it fits, and in a sense, ultimately, once one or two people are beginning to do it, then the idea is then they begin to mentor others to also do it. So it gives the basic resources for people to be able to mentor others and raise up a generation of people who are going to be ready for what's coming, really. I mean, that's the key, but in a completely systematic way, from first module, journey preparation, these are the things we all need to know before we engage this journey. This will be things that will help us on this journey. And then go to base camp and learn about the spirit building and engaging the spirit and learning to see and hear and taste and touch and all those things in the realm of the spirit. So it's designed to be an actual journey that people can take at their own pace, but with all the resources that they need to create their own pathway. Because that's the key important part in all of this. I can only share my journey and share what's helped me, and that's not being prescriptive and descriptive. It's about these are the principles and the precepts that if people begin to engage God this way, they will find how the pathway works for them, and particularly how God speaks to them, how they can engage, and so that then it becomes their personal pathway, you know. And that means that everyone, my view is that anyone can learn how to do any of these things if they're just willing to practice treading down the path, so that it becomes their own pathway and not anyone else's. And then you don't have to try and do it the way anyone else does it. You discover on the way, how is it that God communicates to you? How is it that you perceive that revelation that God wants to receive, so that you can actually find that it's a unique relationship, and so is everyone else's. You know, and I think that's part of it. It's not one thing fits all, because we're all different, and God's created us all different. There are just some helpful things along the way that can help us discover, you know, our destiny and how we can engage God in it. So, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. So if I'll send you the link, and then if you want to, then, you know, there's a couple of weeks before I'm going to send out the basic first module. So,
okay,
got a couple of weeks to have a look at it and see what you think.
Yeah, because like I said, Kristen mentioned that last time, and I didn't know about it, and so because we met for just a little bit, we got to talk. I got to meet her, and she got to hear a little bit of my story and her story. Last time you didn't meet with us.
there was a miscommunication. Yeah.
Technology isn't always what it's cracked up to be, is it?
No, not always. Definitely not.
What do you have anything on your heart you want to ask him, George, or are you still just want to listen? Or,
well, for a man who knows everything, it's hard to ask questions, you know. Mike knows my humor. I'm sorry, you new folks.
That's fine.
Send me that link too, if you don't mind, Mike.
Okay.
Because I'd appreciate looking into that too.
Okay. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can do that. Yeah.
So I have a question for you, Mike.
Okay.
This isn't for me, but I have a daughter-in-law who has started to interact with heaven.
Yeah, good.
She found herself like at a rocking chair with Jesus.
Yep.
And that was just a very intimate moment with him. But then she found herself in this white room dancing with all these people. And I'd heard you say something before about a dance floor, and I'd never heard the description of it. I told her, I said, sounds like it could be that, because she didn't understand why all these people were there. But there was great joy and just jubilation in this dance. But it was for the Lord or with the Lord. It was different, because she was like dancing with him, but then all of a sudden all these people were there. So I was just wondering if she's starting, or if this is something, because I didn't know if it was a personal place in her heart, or if she's already starting to interact with some of the realm.
I mean, it's difficult to say, but the dance floor is a area of the heart which is about engaging God in intimacy with the revelation of his DNA and the light that comes around us. And I personally, it's always been very, very intimate for me, so I've never really even looked around to see if there was anyone else there. I've just been so joined and connected with Jesus in the experience. But, you know, So who knows? It could be angels engaging. It could be men in white linen, cloud of witnesses around, cheering and being involved in, hey, this is a someone who's getting this and engaging. There's plenty of dimensional place, particularly in heaven, where when you begin to engage God, everyone knows about it. You know, it's not like it's a secret. And so there's a lot of cheering us on and just joy. In a sense, when Jesus told the story of, the lost sheep and the lost coin and the celebration that took place when, in heaven, when one lost person gets restored, there's a lot of that that goes on, and sometimes even when I've engaged with people and we've gone into the chancellor's rooms and places like that, they've sort of said to me, I sensed that there were people around, and it's the cloud of witnesses. They just love to be seeing us engage destiny, because they invest into that and they want us to fulfill the race and finish the race and cross the line. So they're all cheering us on. So it may well be that she was just sensitive to things that were going on around that I may have been just totally insensitive to and just sort of like blocked it out. Because it may be so. I must admit, when I take other people back to places, I do sometimes tend to have a closer look at what's going on than when I first engaged the things myself, because I just got so caught up in things that I didn't really look around too much. It was almost like I was just so caught up with the encounter and what God was doing. But, I have noticed quite a few things having taken other people back and encouraged people to go into some of the places. I watch sometimes what's going on in the spirit, or I just look into my own personal encounters in a different way. And that happened the first time when I was sort of facilitating some people going to their mountains and getting on their mountain thrones. And so I thought, okay, I'm gonna go into my mountain, but I'm going to look this time rather than just sitting. Because normally I just sit on the throne and start doing things. And I started to look, and I noticed this big angel standing behind the throne. And I was like, who are you? he told me his name, and I said, well, what are you doing there? He said, I've always been here, you've just never noticed. And I'm like, oh, okay. I thought, okay. And then I began to feel a little bit stupid. And it was like one of those sort of like, oh, no moments. And it was like, I said, well, what do you do? Oh, well, I'm here to help guide you in some of the protocol of rulership. And then I really did feel rather small. It's like, okay, I think I'm going to talk to you a little bit more. But, I never really noticed, because I was just too focused on what I'm supposed to do here to look around too much, and sometimes it's like it helps to be a little bit more reflective and take your time so you can actually just see a little bit more what's going on and engage a little bit more. But it's great that she's beginning to experience these things. I mean, God is just drawing people all over. I mean, I had a Facebook message from someone I'd not met for about 19 years and had just totally forgotten who this person was, and they wanted to be a Facebook friend, and I didn't even recognize the name. But I said, yeah, okay. And they sort of said, oh, since January, I've just been having these encounters in heaven. I didn't know anyone to talk to about it. I did some research, found out, about Company of Burning Hearts, and then I saw your name and the Facebook page for the Ink Clayton Facebook page. And it's like, it's just amazing that God is just beginning to reconnect people, and he's drawing people. This sound that's coming out of heaven is just drawing people home, really, back to where, where it really is for them, where they're as always supposed to be. And I just find it just awesome that God is just issuing this call and this drawing, and people are responding, which is great. So I've got no categorical answer, but it's just great that she's beginning to experience those things. I mean, it's just awesome.
That's what I told her. I said, you're on a journey now that you're never going to know Christianity ever again like you knew it before.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's going to have a reality to you that I wish I would have walked in my whole life.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, when I was in the States with this group of young people, I mean, you know, they were 24 to 18 years old, and they are forming a bench of three, starting a whole new ecclesia, forming the seven mountains. They've got scrolls. They've engaged their angels.
Oh, just, my goodness.
Why couldn't it be that easy? You know, it's like, you know, so it's hard to transition.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, even though, you know, we're sort of a fair way ahead, we still have to deal with some of the old ways of thinking, and it's like, you know, and try and create this culture of honor where we can help facilitate people, but it's not easy, you know. You know, when you're trying to deal with religious mindsets and just patterns of behavior and thinking that go back years, it's not easy to do, and, you know, we're still keep uncovering stuff. But God just keeps giving fresh revelation. I mean, that's the thing I loved. I mean, it's like when I was away, you know, we had two situations where there were four people who were engaged, and so they both groups said, well, can we be a bench of four? So I'm sort of like, well, I'm sort of thinking, well, I don't want to disappoint anybody, you know. But I felt God say, no, they can't be a bench of four because actually it's a bench of three. So I said, look, no, I really feel it needs to be a bench of three. So I said, well, the best thing to do, though, is if we go into heaven and we get a mandate, and then you ask God who is supposed to be part of the bench of three, and you get a mandate for it, then you're clear what God is saying. So we did that. And we stepped in, and while we were there, I actually saw the three myself. I'm sort of like, I saw the three, I saw who God was going to call, and then I saw the other person in each situation, and God gave me just this description. They're going to be the angel of the house. So I'm sort of thinking, angel of the house. Where does that work? What's that about? You know, but then the revelation came, you know, you're the four faces of God, and you've got, you know, lion, ox, eagle. Yeah, the sort of the rulership. Then you've got the priestly function of the man, and it's that fourth function that brings the perspective of the other three, but actually becomes the link between how things get worked out on the ground. And so the Hebrew way of having a house was that you needed 10 to form a house. So you needed a bench of three, and you needed seven house officers to form the basis of a house, or, you know, in the Greek, an ecclesia. And so it was just really fascinating just to see how God just unveiled that, because I'd never really saw that before. And then when I sort of, we worked that through, and it was like, you know, I had some prophetic revelation of how that would work, and then God spoke to this one lady, and it was like, she very much saw that she was kept looking from a different perspective, and I sort of thought, well, that's what perspective are you looking at? What direction are you looking at? And she was looking, kept looking at from the southwest. So I said, well, okay, what are you looking at? And actually she's looking at the perspective of the eagle and the ox, prophetic and apostolic foundations that provide foundations for what we do in this realm. But she's coming from the priestly function, but you have to bring the two together to form agreement so that you don't get this pastoral versus apostolic battle all the time. Because, I mean, I've been through that a number of times, and, you know, it's just wearing when you have this fight between the pastoral and the apostolic, rather than unity and a culture of honor, respecting difference and respecting different viewpoints, but bringing them from a heavenly perspective. So this worked out really well, and, you know, and the same thing, you know, applied in another place. And so when I went to these young guys, they were saying, how do we get this seven? I said, well, okay, let's step into heaven and let's see what God shows you. And he showed them exactly the same thing. which was awesome. And so they're now they've already appointed their angel of the house to begin working with their seven to see the foundations of their blueprint at work actually physically on the ground. So I thought, wow, you know, God is so good. So I brought that back here, and like last night shared it with our group, our sort of council of 12, and I said, look, I think we need to consider this, because actually this is a missing part of our jigsaw. And so we're now going to pursue that ourselves. So it's something I learned, you know, as I was on the road, that now is going to have an impact in what we do here. So I thought, that's awesome. You know, God is good, you know. And we're always learning new things. You know, it's progressive revelation. It's not just, okay, we've got it all and we understand it all, that's it. Actually, no, it's continually we're learning new things and learning to embrace the revelation that God's giving. You know, and for me, if we tried to do that 12 months ago, we would have never been able to do it with what was going on at the time. But now is the absolute time when, you know, God has released that revelation, so we can then see how that get out work here. So I was sort of pretty blessed by that, which was great. Okay. You got any other questions and things you want to talk about?
Well, if it's all right, I'd like to piggyback on some of the things that Mike talked about. I had a humbling and awesome experience this week. A gentleman that we were in relationship with passed away all of a sudden. And so I was invited with a couple other people by his wife to come in and raise him. Is really interesting in that is that when I had an encounter the night before and I saw him sitting at two different tables, but it's really interesting when I was doing that is I actually could see him and the cloud of witnesses around. But my question is, he did not raise, but my question was, is that the Lord asked me while I was in the heavenly perspective doing this, he said, show him your access point. And there was just so much that was going on in my brain and so much to perceive at the extreme magnitude of what God has put on, you know, give me a mandate for the day. And so I wanted to ask a little bit about that and possibly how, because I think there's more for me to understand of being in heaven, what is that access point, that pathway that he's given me.
Yeah.
It's really mind-boggling to be in a room and have all that open up.
Yeah.
And to try to communicate, yet I'm trying to learn, and it was really awesome, overwhelming, humbling.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's a pretty amazing experience. When I've engaged not something specifically like that, but similar, it's like, in terms of raising somebody, they didn't want to come back.
That's what I heard, too. Yeah. I saw two tables. Yeah. I saw a table with the Lord and the table that was here.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, that. So, in a sense, it's like, that's where getting a clear mandate. You know, if someone came and asked me, would you pray for my relative, you know, I would say yes, because I would go on their faith, and I would be going on, yes, I want to respond. But what I would then look to do is similar, okay, I'm going to step in and see what is the situation from the heavenly perspective. Does that person want to come back? Because, you know, you can't force somebody to come back. You know, and depending on their age and depending on whether they feel that they've fulfilled their life, whether they've got outstanding things that they feel called to do, will be maybe dependent on what their response is. And also, how long have they been there? You know, there's a big difference between raising somebody who's died 10 minutes than someone who's been dead several days and they've been in that realm seeing what it's like to be completely living in that realm, actually being part of the Cloud of Witnesses and having access to do an awful lot of things that they couldn't do when they were here. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I think there's things in that. I think if you're saying, what is the access point? Have I opened up a portal that I could bring someone back through?
That's kind of what, well, the question he asked me, yep. The Holy Spirit said, you know, show him your access point. And so, you know, it's really different to think that, well, I'm talking here. And I said, well, because I knew that he wanted to stay because his table here was before with the store Safeway. And I knew he felt safe. Yep. And but I said, well, since we can go back there, doesn't that change things? Hmm.
So you were having a conversation with him?
Having a conversation with everybody who was in the room. Because, I mean, my mind was blowing and all these religious thoughts. And, you know, but it was open and I was going, oh, my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
I was holding the Lord's hand really tight, you know. And plus I was trying to administer honor and communicate what was going on to the people that were also in the room with me.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, I've had to do that a number of times, trying to communicate what I'm seeing, while I'm still in the situation, and it takes some practice not to be distracted and to be able to operate in two realms. But that's what we're learning to do, to live in those dual realms, so that we're more familiar with our spirit being there, communicating to our soul here, so that we can actually still function. And it can be really overwhelming. You know, when I've been in that sort of full-blown, hey, I'm looking at everything that's going on here, but I'm also engaged in another realm, you know, it's not easy because your physical body is not used to the weight that experience carries with it. And you have to get used to being able to stand in the glory, if you like. I think it talks about it in Jude, I think, where it talks about actually we have to learn to stand in the glory. Rather than the ministers, when the glory cloud filled the temple, they couldn't stand to minister. But actually they should have been able to stand to minister because they should have been used to the presence of God. And actually we have to get used to, not to take it lightly or for granted, but actually when the glory of God comes, what point is it if we're all going to be on our faces and not able to minister? So we have to get used to ministering in that glory and administering it. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like an amazing encounter. You know, in terms of the actual access point, when you step in through the open door and you step into the realm of heaven, particularly if you're bringing an agreement, I mean, I think this is the key. You can open an everlasting door from your position of authority, being lifted up as a head, and then becoming a gate. Psalm 24, be lifted up, O you heads, O you gates. And so when you're lifted up into a place in the realm of heaven, you literally become a gate. So you have, in a self, you become that gateway that enables an everlasting door to be open. Because what it says, you know, it goes on to be lifted up, you everlasting door. And so there's three things there. There's the headship being lifted up into the realms of heaven. There's the doors, the gateways, and then there's the everlasting door. And so we can open an everlasting door once we're established as a head and we're also a gateway in our own lives. And so, you know, the same thing with like Bethel experience with Jacob. You know, this is the house of God and the gateway of heaven. Now, of course, we're now the house of God and the gateway of heaven. So when we step in that position of authority, we can actually open up portals or gateways because we're coming into an agreement and alignment between heaven and earth. So, you know, you have again, you know, the four faces of God. Once we know, by having stepped into his presence and seeing from his perspective, then you can get a clarity about how you can bring an agreement to open up that portal. Because sometimes you get a choice of how to respond, because he's entrusting us with greater levels of authority, and sometimes he'll just give us direction and a mandate. And it sounds like, you know, you had a great time, you know. And I'm one of those sort of like, wow, you need to go back and meditate in there and re-engage it and just take it back. You know, that's the sort of experience I would take to my own garden of my heart and just sit and talk to God about. Okay, what do you mean when you ask me that question? You know, and get his conversation and the thoughts that come. You know, how do I show him my gate? How do I show him the access point? You know, just talk to him like that. And that's how I get most of my things. I just ask questions and wait for the answers to come, you know. But one of the other ways of engaging that is to take that experience into the realm of the ark, around the presence of God, and to begin to cultivate it, and to cultivate the desire that has created in you, because it's obviously created a desire in you for more. I'm wanting to know, how do I do that? You know, how do I do that? So take that specific, take it into your heart, and engage around the presence of God, because then once you begin to step into his presence, you will be able to see into what was. So you can bring what was into what is, so that you can actually change what will be to align with what was. Problem is, we continue living what is without accessing what was. Because what was without sin. Because Christ was crucified effectively, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So there is a sense we can look back to a time when there is no influence of sin in what was, and begin to see what God's desire was for opening up an access point and a portal in what was, so we can bring it into what is now. And I found that cultivating that desire takes time, and it takes some, you know, time of just bringing that before God and just asking him, what did this look like from your perspective? You know, what was this like in your heart before things got messed up? What should it have been like if there was no sin? That we would have access to open everlasting doors and bring heaven to earth, and just that sort of type of. I spend time doing that, and just asking those questions in that place, and just things just come, you know. Sometimes not to my mind at that point in time, but they come into my spirit, and I find that my spirit receives things that my mind has not yet caught up with. You know, but sometimes it's a very clear. He just shows me something, you know, and I can say, oh, wow, how does that relate to now then? How do I then do that now? And then you again, you're just looking to see, do I need a mandate for that? Can I just do this? Have I got an ongoing mandate? I just ask questions like that all the time. You know, it's just I just want to develop a relationship where I can just engage God and we can just talk that way. And, you know, that's how I learn most of my things. I just keep pestering for answers, you know.
Thank you.
That was great. I mean,
it was amazing. It was just, yeah. It was, there was so much to see, and I tend to look around in the room and look, and it was really overwhelming to think, wow, he's here watching what's going on, and then all of a sudden his wife says, to us, she goes, you know, he is so delighted you are doing this. And it's just like there was so much to think about in everything that was going on. It was just huge.
Yeah, but it's just a forerunner experience. You know, see it as a forerunner experience, which then you can begin to step back into and engage deeper in.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's probably so much in that encounter that you're wondering about.
Yeah.
That then just take that back and begin to explore it in those intimate times with God yourself.
Thank you.
Okay, it's great. Awesome. Okie dokie. Anything else? How are you doing, Josh?
Doing very well. I'm actually on a getting ready to leave. I got to head to work, so I was thankful to be able to sit in for a few minutes. But doing very well. Pressing forward the best I know how and leaving the rest in God's hands, and very thankful for every step of the way. So
good. Excellent. Great. Awesome. Okay.
So this alpha group, is that something that I could send a link to Josh as well, because I think he would probably be interested in it.
Yeah, sure, and David as well.
Okay.
Yeah. No okay. Problem.
How about my daughter-in-law? Because I think she's been really starting to watch Ian Clayton videos and stuff, so she's very hungry.
Yeah, okay. It's all right. Well, yeah. Yeah, the guy, go for it. Yeah. Because in a sense, if you engage it, you know, we can use some of the time we spend just using the feedback. It would be easy because you've already got a relationship with one another. In the process, so it wouldn't be a problem. But yeah, I mean, in a sense, it's just, you know, that there's some information, and then there's a 25-minute video just explaining up front, you know, where it's going and you know what I see the vision for it is. And but there's two real ways of doing it. People can do it individually, and so when they've finished the course and finished the thing, it's like it can just be part of their lifestyle, and that's fine, and move on. Or actually, the preferred way is actually, this is about raising up a Joshua generation. So actually, having got so far in, is there anyone else I could mentor in this? So then taking a step of then passing on, using the same material, but using your own personal experiences, using your illustrations, using the things that you've gained, so that the person, again, will be able to use the material in their own time, in their own pace, but you then provide support because you've gone through it yourself. So that there's two sort of ways. And then, of course, for some people might want to take a larger group through it, you know, a church, ministry school, group, that's fine. You know, it lends itself to doing things different ways, but it just gives... It gives a systematic way that people can follow it through from basic, I don't know anything, to, hey, I'm going to engage in the fullness of my destiny, really. That's its purpose. I mean, it's probably not geared up for someone who's, you know, a Christian for 5 minutes, but in reality, probably if they've come into the kingdom in the right way, they would catch on to this stuff really easily. Because I find that it's those that carry the most religious baggage struggle the most. Ugh. You know, they just do. You know, we had a lady. I don't know, I've told this story before, but we did some things in the courts, and we got something restored back to us that had been robbed by the enemy. And the next Sunday, this lady turns up on the door. And I end up getting there first, and I'm sort of open the door, and there's this lady, and she's like with a walker Zimmer frame on wheels type of thing, and she's sort of walking along. So I said, oh, it's really nice to see you. You know, thinking, what on earth is she doing here? She's like 92 and a half years old, I think, or three quarters. She's proud of the three quarters. And so she says, well, I met this person in the street, and they told me this would be a really good place to come. So I'm sort of thinking, all the, like, well, we've got earplugs. I hope it's not going to be too loud, this or the other. So she comes in, she gets a cup of coffee, she sits down. I usually do the teaching first, and it's like, and I'm doing teaching with an exercise, and it's like, she falls asleep during the teaching. So it's like, you know, okay, she's 90-odd years old, no problem. I don't get offended people falling asleep in teaching, no problem. And then I started doing the exercise, and the exercise was really about Jesus was just going to come, and he was going to stand in front of you, he's going to kneel in front of you, and he's going to engage you, And it's just simple exercise. So finished, is it? We go into a time of worship, and there was a few prophetic things, and someone invited someone to come forward for ministry. So she goes forward for ministry. And then she basically gives her testimony. She says, you know, I'm 92 and three-quarter years old. I've looked in all the cathedrals and churches of the world. I've been searching my whole life for God. And today I met him face to face. And he lifted off my shoulders a burden that I've carried the whole of my life. And now I've never felt so light ever. You know, so we're all in tears now, sort of like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, so, oh, what an amazing thing. You know, and she's just come every week. And she just engages in things. So in some senses, it's like, actually, if you can offer people the reality of that encounter, then it doesn't matter. If they meet with God, then they enter into a relationship like this. So, you know, I would never, ever pray a prayer of salvation again over somebody. I would introduce them to encounter Jesus so that they can experience him and encounter him, and then there's no doubt. You know, who knows what happens when someone prays a prayer, whether they're actually meaning it, whether they don't mean it. It's like, you know, I want people to encounter God. You know, Jesus just said, come and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really make it too complicated. Yes, he said, okay, if you're going to follow me, it costs everything. But actually, if Jesus turns up, you know, so we're looking for ways of helping people encounter. I'll tell you, it's a really funny story. It was on Sunday morning, again, I was doing an exercise, and we were just practicing engaging the shepherd, and I was sort of just doing this thing about, you know, how you can use the Word of God as a doorway into an experience. And so one of our guys on our leadership team was there, and he basically, I mean, I didn't notice this, I was told afterwards, but he basically just falls asleep. Well, that's what the person next to him thought. So after a while, they sort of start elbowing him and nudging him, trying to wake him up. Because they thought, well, this is really rude, you know. So they were elbowing, he wasn't waking up. So then the person said, oh. So they asked God, what's going on? So he's not here. Don't try and wake him up, he's not here. So subsequently, we found out that when he was in this exercise, God took him in the spirit to Russia, and he actually ministered to two people in Russia. So he wasn't there. He was gone in his spirit somewhere else, ministering to someone during this exercise. I thought, wow, that's awesome. I think, fantastic. I love that. But I just thought, just imagine someone's there trying to wake him up, you know, while he's in Russia, sort of ministering in the spirit. I thought, well, that's fantastic.
So, say, Mike?
Yeah.
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Just comment a little bit on the link between what you're talking about and dreams. My background is dreamers. I'm a dreamer, and yeah. A lot of my revelation and contact with these things, I've had to learn how to interpret and learn how to hear, but not that I haven't encountered God, you know, like in some form like you're talking. But just comment a little bit about the two linking together or how they relate.
Yeah, sure. I mean, dreams, I personally have, I probably have a lot of dreams, but I don't remember them. So God doesn't speak to me in dreams in that way. Probably twice in my life, I think I've had significant dreams where God has used a dream, generally because he couldn't get through to me another way because I wasn't listening. You know, and so he needed to get my attention. So he broke through into a dream and got my attention. I like to see that using, yeah, a dream is really that your subconscious mind, your imagination, God is projecting something on there, and they're usually very symbolic, as you say. And so you have to then find the interpretation of the dream. Now, I can interpret dreams. I mean, I don't do it so much now because I keep pointing back to people to go and ask God for themselves, because that's what I don't want to reinforce an old thing of I interpret people's dreams. So although I can, you know, I've interpreted people who aren't Christians' dreams because I think they can't go and ask God themselves. But so in a sense, it's like dreams, I think dreams are probably maybe God's last resort when he can't get through us to us prophetically. And I love dreaming in a sense of being awake. So I love in that state where I can begin to just daydream and begin to meditate and focus on things in that sort of state where I'm not thinking about it or trying to cognitively work things out, but I can just allow my imagination to engage things. So personally, you know, I haven't got a lot of experience in that, but I think if we can engage God and we can talk to God face to face and we can step into heaven, then the dreams become less of a necessity because we've got that communication with God all the time. You know, it talks about in Acts, obviously, you know, that people will dream dreams, you know, and have visions. But I think both of those are stepping stones to visitation and habitation, not the end of it, but the beginning of something to say, hey, there's more. I can.
Well, I've had a long beginning then.
Pardon?
I've had a long beginning.
Well,
in the dream world.
Yeah, but I think a lot of us have. You know, what God is doing now is opening up that there is a reality that we can actually experience that we've actually only dreamed about or was only seemed to be available in dreams and visions rather than in voluntary. You see, you can't have a voluntary dream. It's an involuntary thing where you get the dream because God's Spirit is speaking to you through the dream.
But, yeah, I agree with that.
But you can't rule on your mountain and administer the kingdom in a dream. You can maybe dream about it, which may be inspiring you to see there's more, but you have to be able to step in and engage the kingdom and begin to voluntarily rule in sonship, which means we're a co-heir and we have access to the realm of the kingdom in a whole different dimension. So, you know, I'm not knocking dreams at all because I think Jesus is turning up in people's dreams and inviting them into salvation, particularly people from Muslim faith and even Jewish people. God is turning up in their dreams and basically in Jesus' form and essentially inviting them into a relationship with God. So I think that's an awesome starting point. Having visions is awesome, but it's very much dependent on those visions are outside of your own realm of control, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants us to go from visions to visiting and then living in. And I think this is just, we're all on this journey, you know, and we have different starting points. You know, if dreams is your starting point of engagement and now you're looking for more, that's great. You know,
well,
some people it's vision.
I've had encounters with God all my life as a Pentecostal boy,
yeah.
But we didn't know, they were just kind of hit and miss, and when they came, they were glorious, didn't know how to revisit them.
Yeah.
And so we're learning that that we can come back to those, and I'm picking up your language, gateways, doorways, entryways. Yeah. I was reflecting back when you were talking about gates and doors and headship, reflecting back on my 30 years in my pastoral, God sent us to a small city in the Northwest, and we did just that. And in the larger sense, we felt we opened a gateway. We went into a town with hardly any, there was no spiritual activity. And after 20 years, churches began to come in, new churches opened up. It was, so we opened up a gateway over that whole valley.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting to just hear that feedback to me. That was encouraging.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we're all just learning, you know, and in a sense, these things are just beginning to opening up in a new way, in a new dimension. And therefore, you know, I've spoken to so many people who had visions and had encounters, as you say, but didn't know how to go back. So I feel, you know, it's part of what God's called me to do is to help facilitate them going back and using that as the doorway to something new. Because you have, if you anchor that foundational experience and you revisit it and know how to meditate in it, then you can step back through it into a greater experience. It's just no one ever taught anyone to do it. So they were just waiting for the next experience. And it, I mean, my own testimony is exactly that. You know, I had an encounter in 2008 where I went into heaven through a portal in a trance, I guess. So that's probably what it was like. But when I came out of it and I wrote it down, I didn't know how to re-engage it. I tried everything. You know, I got Patricia King's Glory School teaching. I Googled everything I could find on heavenly encounters, how you encounter heaven. I couldn't find anywhere that showed me how to do it, how to get back into it. You know, and I don't want that for people. I believe we can learn how to re-engage, and we can use that if we anchor the experience by meditating around it and revisiting it in our imagination, because that then opens the doorway to step back in through, and that then becomes a platform for greater experiences. And not just experiences for experience sake, of course, but to lead us into our destiny as sons of God to administer the kingdom in heaven so it manifests on earth. I mean, that's what all this is about. So I, in a sense, you know, when I look around and see a lot of the things that are going around on Facebook and all the things, I see that many people are having experiences and encounters. They're just not systematic about it. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're doing, and therefore they're not initiating those encounters, because we're supposed to step in every day and administer the kingdom there so that we can be a gateway here for that to manifest around our lives. And, of course, within our spheres of government, to begin to frame those spheres from our words. So we frame our day. We frame through the mandates that we're given. So that it's not just haphazard and maybe or if, or, well, I'll get led by the Spirit today and hopefully I'll come across the things that maybe that God might want me to do. Why can't I go and ask him what he does want me to do and get a specific direction? I mean, we all know that Jesus did it that way. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what the Father initiated. So we all know that's true. We've just never found a way for it to be real for us. Mm-hmm. And this is opening up a realm where it's becoming real. So we can actually do that and experience it, you know, which is great.
I would say the faith message got a little handle on that, didn't they, in the 70s when we began to confess and use the name and more than we did in the Pentecostal days. But what you're saying, there's another level that we're not just forming words, but we're actually getting direction from the Father. And
absolutely, yeah. And I think all these things have been part of people's journey, you know, of engaging the Word by faith and, you know, beginning to picture the Word and beginning to visualize the Word. And unfortunately, some of them just went off to an extreme and missed the point of where it was leading and then didn't want to change. Didn't take on the progressive revelation of where this was leading. You know, I've gone through that all myself. You know, it's like, when I first learned about healing and how to engage healing and how to live in health, I went through the whole thing of meditating in the Word, confessing it, speaking it out, seeing myself healed, standing in that healing that I was seeing myself in. You know, I went through that process. I just didn't know where it was leading. Fortunately, I actually carried on the journey to find out where it was going. I didn't stop and think, this is it. It's just part of the journey that, for me, that helped me to understand how to begin to engage the Word. So that the Word became living, and then I began to engage the person behind the Word, and that became living. So I began to have conversations with God through learning how to discern his thoughts. You know, and you get sort of similar books. I mean, I was really blessed by Mark Verkler's ministry over the years. You know, how to hear the voice of God. And he all about journaling and how to I learned how to do that. You know, I didn't learn it through him, but after subsequently I looked back and thought, actually, this is exactly what I learned. You've got a whole book here that teaches people how to do this, which is awesome. And, you know, I've seen that that is, but that's a stepping stone. We don't want to stop there. You know, I just don't want to stop just having conversations in my head with God. However real those conversations are, I want to step into where he is and learn to be a son, which means taking responsibility for rulership, of being a co-heir with Christ, being seated with him in the heavenly places, which is just further steps along the journey, and just always being open for progressive revelation that there's more, you know, and not sticking and becoming, you know, I would hate that this became some sort of, okay, now we're the denomination who goes into heaven. Actually, no, we need to see that this is just a stepping stone to a lifestyle in which we embrace our destiny in the fullness of what God has for us, so that we can do everything God's calling us to do in that sonship.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, awesome.
Mike, it's kind of like, I think it's kind of like the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So in other words, we're given a spiritual life, and God's giving us almost choice of what we really do with our spiritual life. It's like I always related to the speaking in tongues, because the way I was baptized, I just fell into it. I wish I would have known this at the same time. I would have stepped right into it when I was 19. But now, you know, at will, I pray in the Spirit, and I don't think anything about it, and I don't think, do I have God's permission, or am I stepping out? And so, again, it's just my world has been, my aeon, so to speak, the way that I view space and time and where I'm at right now has gotten to the place where praying in tongues at will is fine. But it's the same thing. You've come to the place now where stepping into heaven, yeah, anytime you want to is fine, yeah, and you're not like changing some space time continuum, and you're disrupting God's plans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or being disobedient, as some people might say. Well, what gives you the right? Well, I'm a son. That gives me the right.
That's absolutely true, and I think that's a really important point, because this is where some of the battle lines are being drawn right now, over whether you can do this voluntarily or not, or you have to wait for God to take you or do it. And some of the ministries who have been at the forefront of encouraging people to engage are now beginning to draw a line to say, actually, no, this is something that only God can do, and you can't do it, which is sad in a sense, because they were brought people up to this point, and all of a sudden now they're backing off, so that people aren't being taken to the next step, you know, because it's sad to do something yourself and not teach other people to do it. But then knowledge can be power, and by keeping something, then you maintain your position, rather than, hey, we're supposed to be a foundation that releases people to go further than us.
Right.
And, you know, and I see that as a key area right now, where there are some battles going on around this whole area, you know. So we just got to be willing to do exactly what you say. You know, this will become a normal part of everyone's life in a few years' time, and it will need to be, because what God will be asking us to do will require it. And what generally happens is the grace that was on the old way of doing things, God removes bit by bit until it doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, are you going to embrace the new ways, or are you going to keep battling in your own strength?
It becomes an Ichabod.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not to say that those things weren't good, or even they weren't stepping stones to where we're going, but don't stay there. Keep following the cloud, if you like, where it's going. And that's, you know, that's my encouragement to everyone. Just don't, let's not stick here. There's so much more even to come. And let's be willing to continue seeing that there's no end to the increase of his government. So there's going to be no end to increase of the revelation he's going to reveal to us. So let's keep pursuing it. It's awesome.
Well said.
Okay. Okay, well,